Hello, and welcome to the Lawrence Park Community Church podcast for the week of January 12, 2020. My name is Reverend Stephen Milton. In this week's podcast, I want to take you along on a journey that I made this week. I decided to join a protest against homelessness in Toronto, which turned out very differently than I had expected.
William Hunta, Edward Wai Hong Vu, Patrick Quang Go Wish, Lisa Lynn Ashley.
On Tuesday, January 14, 2020, I found myself at Toronto City Hall, lying on the floor outside of the mayor's office.
Nichols, Eric Galati, October 1st, Vernon Crow, October, John Doe, Cowboy Hutchings, October 23rd, Wellesley Maraca, October, John Doe.
I wasn't the only one on the floor. There are about 50 of us. Homeless people, street nurses, ministers, rabbis, concerned citizens. We'd come to deliver a petition to the mayor, demanding that the city declare homelessness an emergency so funds could be made available to make more shelter space possible. The reason that's such a priority right now is that every week in Toronto, one or two people die who are homeless. There have been 1,000 deaths of people who are homeless since the late 1980s.
Jerry Blackburn, Charles Cameron, F.A.K., Leonard McLaren.
I didn't expect to be taking part in the die-in. The road that led me here started a few days earlier at our Soul Table gathering on Sunday night. As many of you know, every Sunday night, Lawrence Park Community Church hosts a gathering called Soul Table. It's our attempt to create a new kind of caring, justice-oriented community in the city. We invite people to speak about big issues which are important to people living in the city, and we talk about spirituality. This past Sunday, we heard from Kathy Crow, a longtime advocate for Toronto's homeless population.
In Toronto, why are so many more people homeless right now? Everything is worse than when I started 30 years ago.
Kathy Crow is a nurse by training. For the past 30 years, she's been working as a street nurse, tending to the needs of people who live in alleyways, ravines, sleep on heating grates, and shelters in the city.
So just to give you a sense of the enormity of the problem today, 235,000 Canadians, people in Canada, will be homeless this year. 8 million are right on the edge, precariously housed, maybe paying 60% of their income on rent, or maybe living in a place that's about to be demolished. I met a gentleman earlier, you, that was talking about this, when buildings are being torn down, or when renovations are happening, people lose their housing. 60,000 are youth, like street, you might say street youth, like teenagers, but over 22,000 in addition are children. That means little kids with their mom and or dad or guardian that are in a shelter across the country. Okay.
The Toronto shelter system is, at best, imperfect. According to the city's own studies, on any given night, there are about 10,000 people who are homeless in the GTA. They basically have two choices about where to sleep. They can try to find a bed in one of the city's 63 shelters, which are spread all over the city, although most of them are downtown. Or they can sleep outside somewhere. The problem is that there are more homeless people than there are beds in the shelters. Over 500 people each night will find no place to sleep inside, so they have to fend for themselves outside. It's a kind of Russian roulette. Each morning, people must leave the shelters to spend the day out on the streets, and then hope that when the shelters reopen, they can find a bed again. One night you may be inside, the next you're outside. It's a precarious, dangerous existence. And over the years, as more and more people have become homeless, more and more have died on the streets.
Again, and we have continued to, and next week we'll be adding a lot of names to the homeless memorial.
Kathy Crow came to speak to us during the same week that a memorial service was being held downtown. It was to commemorate the 1,000th death of a homeless person on Toronto's streets. It was held on a Tuesday at noon, so I decided to go. The event was held outside the Church of the Holy Trinity. It's the small church which stands outside the west wall of the Eaton Center. It's easy to miss. It's dwarfed by the commercial temple that is the shopping mall. There are about 150 people standing outside the church. An Indigenous drummer was singing a lament on the steps, surrounded by news cameras. At her feet were the names of some of the dead, written in chalk on the pavement. A few steps away is the homeless memorial itself, a list of names in a book encased in glass. It is a very big book.
Gentlemen, before we said it, we know what the answer is. Politicians know what the answer is. If you ask us, we will tell you. Declaring an emergency. We need to get David Williams to do his job as the chief medical health officer of health and put real money into this crisis. We need to lift on the path of current overdose prevention rates, and we need an accessible food supply program. We need an accessible subsidized housing program that actually works, that gives us access to the housing that you say is available for us.
That's Akia Munga. Like many of the speakers today, they know some of the names on the list of those who died. Munga explains that they were once homeless themselves and used to ride in the TTC during the day, waiting for the shelters to open. Now Munga is an addiction counselor at the Toronto Overdose Prevention Society.
We're demanding that Meritorian and Doug Ford actively build sustainable subsidized housing units. Meritorian should be redirecting the same energy that is being used to deny that this is a crisis to ensure that folks who are new to the country and folks that have been living on the streets for years have a clear avenue out of this crisis. We are in an emergency. We are in a crisis. We are in a disaster. The simple fact is that living sustainable housing and a non-toxic drug supply is a human right that the government is obligated to provide regardless of their desire to see us dead or out of sight.
Being homeless is a depressing, dispiriting life. Nothing is predictable. You never know where you will sleep. But what is predictable is how society sees you. You're at the bottom of the social pyramid, despised by many, ignored by most. It's hard to stay happy when you know the rest of society thinks that you are their worst nightmare. So, some homeless people turn to drugs and alcohol to self-medicate, to deal with the emotional burden of their situation. Others are simply trying to deal with pre-existing mental health issues that won't get better with no fixed address, no regular health care, or a supportive family.
Even though it is hard, even though it hurts, and it hurts, even though that lump in our throat gets bigger and that heaviness in our chest gets heavier, we will continue. We must continue to call action and rattle our cages, to scream and persevere so the next and the next don't have to die without dignity and despair. We must and we will as we mourn. Thank you.
On January 1st, just as the new year began, another homeless person died of an overdose, right here where we're standing outside the church. His name was Byron Cromarty, 29 years old. There is nothing theoretical about this problem.
What's the story, John Tory? I know you see what I see. Emergency. Homeless emergency. Oh, yeah, yeah. What's the story, John Tory? Call the emergency. Because Kathy's been fighting. For so many years, let's work together. There's no need to fear.
People who are homeless die from a variety of causes. Most of them are diseases which housed people get, like cancer and heart disease. But for the homeless, they are fatal decades earlier. The median age of death for homeless people is 48 years. You and I, if we're housed, can expect to live into our 80s. That's a big difference. Homelessness is not just upsetting and depressing, it's also deadly. In Toronto, an average of 2 people a week die who are homeless. And that's in a city where there are literally thousands of empty condos and homes. A recent study found that there were 28,000 empty homes in Toronto. There are 10,000 homeless people. Our system is not working, and people are dying as a result. That's why these activists are calling for the city to declare homelessness an emergency.
Over 20 years ago, when a homeless person died, there would be outrage, and we would go to City Hall, and we would hold a press conference, and we would knock on the glass doors that would be locked at the mayor's office. We would fight for inquests.
That's Kathy Crow, the street nurse who spoke at Soul Table on Sunday.
We are going to have a peaceful and silent march to the mayor's office. While we were here today, I'm happy to announce that we reached over 25,000 signatures on the petition. The 1,000 pages long. People around the world signed this petition, by the way. It's a human rights issue. We allowed anyone to sign this petition. We are going to deliver this to Mayor John Tory, and it's a petition asking him to declare homelessness an emergency and act in such a way. There will be a couple of speakers.
After a short bagged lunch, a group of about 75 of us head off to City Hall. By law, an emergency declaration would enable the city to call on all of its departments to provide extra resources. Most importantly, it would enable the city to demand extra funding from the province to create more housing. This is not the first time the city has been asked to declare homelessness an emergency. In 2019, 2 city councilors did the same. Since then, another 100 people have died. The hope on Tuesday was that perhaps this time the city would listen. Outside City Hall, our group meets with some security guards. They don't seem surprised to see us. Fortunately, they're very civil. They agree to let us go inside to the mayor's office. One of them receives a big hug from Kevin, one of the homeless men who has led the march. After our bags are searched, we go up the stairs to the second floor. I realize that I've never actually been to the mayor's office before. It has a glass wall and the door is closed. We gather in front of it for a few more speeches. This is Rafi Aaron of the Interfaith Coalition to Fight Homelessness.
One might call this an excruciating, painful chapter in our city's history, but it's not a chapter. It's ongoing, and the list of names is filling books. We will never let 2 homeless deaths a week be the norm. Again, we say to Mayor Tory, call an emergency. And we also say, no more deaths. Can you repeat that with me?
No more deaths.
Again.
No more deaths.
Again.
No more deaths.
After a few minutes of waiting, a young woman from the mayor's office arrives at the glass doors. She comes out. She looks a bit intimidated. I get the feeling she wished the mayor was meeting with us too.
Thank you so much for coming today. I'm going to accept this on the mayor's behalf. I really appreciate you taking the time. We appreciate your...
The petition, which is 1,000 pages long, is presented to her by a 9-year-old girl, Maxine, who has been homeless.
It's unbearable to just be sitting here and like having all these people dying while you go on your Black Friday shopping.
Putting those things down.
The assistant promises to get it to Mayor Tory. After she leaves, the last part of the memorial begins. All 1,000 names on the list of the dead will be read out loud.
1987, 7 deaths. Randall Fraser, Mary Keller, Emery Hatch.
The names begin in the late 1980s.
William Hunta, Edward Wai Hong Vu, Patrick Quang Go Wish, Lisa Lynn Ashley, William Hunter.
Perhaps because we're used to speaking loudly in public, several ministers take turns reading the names. I volunteer too.
1999, 42 deaths. Cliffy, Kevin, Sammy Happy Jack, Leanne.
After a few minutes, we're asked to lie down on the ground to stage a die-in. We lie down next to 1,000 small paper cutouts of dead bodies, which will be left on the floor outside the mayor's office. I don't think I've been in a die-in since the 1980s during the anti-nuke protests, but I get down onto the floor.
Ruben Mansour, Henry Horse Piketty, in November, Ellen Barber, John Kovach, Michael Fairthern, James, Calvin Windevans.
It takes a long time to read 1,000 names. And as I lie on the ground, listening to the names, a disturbing pattern emerges.
Wayne Borman, Floyd Anderson, John Doe, John Doe, John Doe, Donald Kimmer Baker.
The names are grouped by year, from the past to the present. As the names get closer to 2020, the number of anonymous deaths steadily grows.
Kenny Martin, John Doe, John Doe, John Doe, John Doe, John Doe. John Doe. John Doe. John Doe.
So many people have died without homes and even without names. This strikes me as a horrible indignity. Not only has our city failed to find a place for people to live, but we can't even be bothered to learn the name of the person who has died when homeless. Unhoused and now unnamed. How is it possible that this is happening in a city with so much wealth, so many condo towers? How can we be a world-class city when so many people will die on the streets and will be erased from memory without even a name?
John Doe, John Doe, Harunoba Harry Koibashi, John Doe, Mike Scully, John Doe, John Doe, John Doe. John Doe.
We can do better.
John Doe.
We must do better. Basic decency demands it, our faith demands it, and so does international law. The politicians will only act if they think there's a groundswell of demand from the general public. If you agree that homelessness is a problem that we should be solving with more housing, please write a letter to your city councillor and your MPP. They're counting on you not to bother. Prove them wrong.
Aga Esther B. John Doe. John Doe. Larry Callahan. John Doe. David Reese. Jane Doe. John Doe.
And that's this week's podcast from Lawrence Park Community Church. If you'd like to learn more about the church, please visit our website at www.lawrenceparkchurch.ca. Thanks very much for listening. See you next week.